Hi, welcome to Exchange CC Podcast. At Exchange, we are about four things: knowing God, making Him known, building His church, and bringing heaven to earth. We pray that these messages would encourage, bless, and help you become all that God's called you to be.
Amen. All right, you ready for the word this morning? Awesome. It's always such an honor and such a privilege to be able to share the word of the Lord with you this morning. And so let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here. We thank you, Lord, that you go before us. We thank you that you've begun such a good work in our church, a good work in every individual's life, in their family. But Lord, we know that you're faithful and just to see that through to completion. And as we have faith for our church, we have faith for our families, and we have faith for our friends. I thank you, Lord, that this word will not return void, but it will accomplish that which it sent out to do. In your name we pray. Amen. If you're taking notes, which I highly encourage you to, title of my sermon is His Word, His Spirit, My Responsibility. His Word, His Spirit, My Responsibility. And we have been talking, Pastor Mark actually launched this season, when God moves, we move. Because the heart of our church is to be in the presence and the will and the purpose of God. And if God speaks, that we would be obedient. And then we unpacked how God speaks. And so today I want to focus really on the connectedness of God's word, His Spirit, and then our responsibility. See, while the enemy would want you to believe that His word and His Spirit are separate, there's actually an amazing synergy, an amazing connectedness between His word and His Spirit. But then we have a responsibility. What is our responsibility in this is to meditate and memorize the word and to inquire of the Lord. We know that God has spoken. How has He spoken? He's spoken through His word. He still speaks today. How does He still speak today? He speaks through the Holy Spirit. And so my responsibility is the reading and the inquiring of the word. Amen. Awesome. Just going to pause for a minute. Silvana, could we close the door, please? Thank you. I'm listening to their chatter. You're all enjoying. What a beautiful sound the sound of kids playing is. God has spoken through His word, still speaks today through the Holy Spirit. Our responsibility is the reading and the inquiring. Amen. So how has He spoken through His word? If you've seen Mission Impossible, I'm not going to spoil it for you. Have you seen it? If you haven't and you're going to, I suggest you watch the ones beforehand. But all throughout the movie, they're saying these words, "It is written." And I'm like, man, you're stealing my sermon. Man, you're stealing things from Scripture. It is written, which means God said it. And the Greek word for "it is written" is logos. And you'll see on the screen, because I can't pronounce it in Greek, but there it is, which means it's the written, established, and the eternal Word of God. The Bible, Scripture, that is our final authority. And isn't Scripture just remarkable? Do you know it is the most translated book in the world? Do you know that it was written over some 1,500 years by 40-ish different authors? And what's remarkable, these 40 authors weren't just all born at the same time, obviously. They weren't all in the same profession. They didn't all speak the same language. And yet these 40 different authors, from shepherds like Amos to physicians, doctors like Luke, despite this diversity, despite this difference, and the long time frame in which Scripture was written, it remains consistent and unified throughout the Bible. No human could possibly have engineered this. No human is that smart to have put it all together. Only possible if it was divinely inspired. Added to that, scholars account for around 2,500 prophecies, of which 2,000 have already come to pass. The last 500 are as we enter the end times. And I know if you're an Avengers fan, they talk about we're in the end game now. But you know, as Christians, we're like, at some point, we're going to enter into the end times. Bible has shown remarkable accuracy. Things like archaeology, history, It even confirmed truths before it was humanly possible to do so. It is written. So much so that when Jesus quoted Isaiah, major prophet in the Old Testament, I mean, this dude in his 66 chapters foretold the entire coming of the Messiah hundreds of years prior to coming. Even him, when Jesus is quoting him, didn't say, Isaiah said, what did he say? It is written, because it is a divinely God-breathed word. And Jesus showed us in Scripture how to overcome, how to be victorious, in the importance of knowing what is written. So you can't say it is written if you don't know what is written. So turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 1. I'll give you a minute to find Matthew 4. If you don't have a Bible, we would love to give you a Bible after the service. It's about Jesus, always was, always will be. And if you got your Bible, we have it on the screen for you. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. What an interesting opening line. Jesus was led by intention, on purpose, into the wilderness. Why? So that he could be tempted by the devil. He didn't just happen to be in the wilderness and things went south. No, he was actually intentionally led by the Spirit for the purpose of being tempted. So how he overcame in this season is so important for you and I to learn, because he was teaching us. What do you do when you're tempted? How do you overcome? How do you live a victorious life? After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Don't you love the Bible? Of course he would be hungry after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. I personally never have. I know my husband has. But he was led to the wilderness on purpose to be tempted, and he was hungry. Then the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. To which Jesus replied, it is written. Logos, it is written. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And he said, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. And what does the devil say? For it is written. Jesus was led on purpose to the wilderness to be tempted, to show us how to engage the Logos, how to understand the written word is our weapon of warfare. It is how we combat. It is how we overcome. And the devil was like, well, two can play this game. I can know the word. I can read it. It's there. So Jesus, let me come back at you also with scripture. And he says, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Does anyone know what passage of scripture Satan is referencing? Psalm? Do you know which Psalm? Psalm 91. He came back with it is written in Psalm 91. He conveniently, though, stops at verse 12. Do you know why? Because verse 13 says, you will tread on the lion and the cobra, you will trample the great lion and the serpent. He took what was convenient for him. He threw it back at Jesus. You want to play this it is written game, so can I. But I will leave out a really, really important part where I become the serpent that you tread on. See, you and I, we have the authority. The Satan is under our foot. We get to trample on him. He is a defeated foe. And Jesus comes back with him in verse 7. And he answered him, it is also written. See, I think some of us, when we're engaging in warfare or when we're engaging in opposition and we're trying to overcome, we're like, okay, well, the scripture says, and they come back with something else, and then we're like, all right, I'm out. And then Jesus said, no, you know what? It is also written. You and I need to memorize, study, know the word of God, so that when we need it, it's there. So you might be reading something in the Bible right now that you have no idea the season coming ahead of you when you're going to need to draw on those words. So you can say, it is written. Well, hang on a minute, it is also written. Or hang on a minute, and you start drawing. You start drawing from the well of the scripture that you have studied and memorized so that you can say, it is written. It is also written. I can keep going and going and going and going until I have the victory, because the Logos word is a spoken word of God that he spoke in the past, and we need to know it to bring it up. And then he said, where am I? Do not put the Lord your God to test. Again, the devil took him to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you. He had no authority to give it. But he said, I will give this to you if you will bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, I've had enough now. I have authority. My children in time to come will understand that they have authority too, because you are a defeated foe. And so I declare, away from me, Satan. You depart from me, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him, and the angels came to attend to him. It is written. This is the word of the Lord. This is the spoken word of the Lord that he wrote through those 40-something people, from shepherds to kings to prophets to doctors, over 1,500 years, so that you and I can be in a school hall in Walnut Creek and we can study, we can read, we can memorize the word of God, the Logos word of God, because it is written. It is your weapon of your warfare. It is how you overcome. But not just do we have the word of God, the Logos, we also have his spirit. His word, his spirit, my responsibility. And because we have the Holy Spirit who's bringing to life, we need to inquire of the Lord, what is it that you're saying? Mark established brilliantly last week, he's still speaking today because the time of completion has not yet come. And the Greek word for this part of word is rhema. And again, I can't pronounce it, but you will see it on the screen. This is a personal, timely word from the Holy Spirit. A now word, if you want, from God. And this now word never contradicts Logos. It cannot, it will not, because the synergy and the unity between his spirit and his word is inseparable. We like to separate them. We like to create two camps. I'm in the truth camp. It's just about the word. Well, I'm in the spirit camp. It's just about the Holy Spirit. It's just about the rhema. It's just about the Logos. No, the end time church requires these two to be together. And I'm grateful to be a part of Exchange Community Church that fights for the Logos and the rhema, that fights to worship in spirit and in truth. Our responsibility is the reading and the inquiring. The reading so that I know what is written, and the inquiring so I can hear what God is saying to me personally. I'm going to fly through these, so just write them down really quickly. But this is an example of how David inquired of the Lord. 1 Samuel 23, verse 2, and David inquired of the Lord, and he came back and the men were afraid. So 1 Samuel 23, verse 4, once again, David inquired of the Lord. 1 Samuel 30, verse 8, David inquired of the Lord. 2 Samuel 2, verse 1, in the course of time, David inquired of the Lord. 2 Samuel 5, 18 and 19, David inquired of the Lord. 2 Samuel 5, 22, 23, once more the Philistines came up, and David inquired of the Lord. Isn't that incredible? God gave him a strategy how to defeat him the first time. He didn't presume on that strategy. Every single time David inquired of the Lord. How do I defeat them? How do I move forward? Are you in this? If you're in it, I'm going. If you're not, I'm not. Logos, it's written, it's said, it's established. Rhema, inquire from the Lord so that you can draw down and receive it. If you want to know what the Lord is saying, you need to inquire of Him. You're not inquiring of AI. You're not inquiring of your favorite news channel. You are inquiring of the Lord. The Rhema word can only come as you inquire from Him. There are things that God has clearly outlined in His word, things He's clearly spoken through Scripture. However, there is not an Acts 352, verse 10,000, that says, Mark and Ellie Cotter are to plant a church in the East Bay of San Francisco. That is not written. That is not a logos. That was a rhema because we inquired of the Lord. Now, the logos word that started and led to the inquiring was Matthew 28, verse 19, where He says, go for and make disciples. Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make disciples. Mark and Ellie, disciples don't come through just worshiping. Mark and Ellie, disciples don't just come because you pray. The revelation of that word, that logos word, was we were to make disciples. So I started our first small group in Sydney, Australia. 10 plus years later, that led to 110 small groups. It was the rhema of what do I do with His word? What do I do with the logos? Start a small group. Okay, I was obedient to do that. Go make disciples. The rhema word was moved to Houston. We had an opportunity in a massive church in Houston to make disciples. Logos, rhema, they come together. Just because it's not expressly written in the word, you need to take the logos, what's the rhema? Take the logos, what's the rhema? Take the logos, it is written. My responsibility is to inquire of your Lord, what are you saying to me personally for this moment? Let me unpack it a little more for you. You ready? It is written, and because it is written, you and I do not need to ask God if we need to forgive that person. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If anyone has grievances against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Colossians 3:13. It is written, forgive. You don't need to inquire of the Lord if you do need to forgive. However, I do need to inquire of the Lord because I live in a fallen world. Because then I live in a sinful world. I do need to inquire of the Lord, is there any unforgiveness in my heart? Have I unknowingly latched onto an offense that I need to let go of? It is not written in the scripture that Ellie has an offense against. It is not written in the scripture that Ellie needs to forgive. That comes through the rhema. It is written, and now I inquire of the Lord. Ready for another one? Okay. I do not need to ask the Lord if I should tithe, if I should be generous to my local storehouse, because it is written. Jesus says, what sorrow awaits you teachers and religious law and you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, like justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Matthew 23:23. I don't need to ask the Lord if I need to tithe. That's the logos. It's written. But I do need to inquire of the Lord, is there strings attached to my giving? Have I made my tithing as somehow a contract between me and the pastors? I will tithe if they let me preach. I will tithe if we inquire of the Lord, is my heart still pure? Is my heart still pure in my giving? Have I somehow thought of myself as more spiritual because I tithe, and I have neglected the more important things such as justice, mercy, and faith? The Logos and the Rhema. Let's not separate them. Ready for one more? Thank you. Front row is. Back row, not so much over there. All right. I do not need to ask the Lord if I need to love my enemies. Because it is written, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Matthew 5, verse 44. It's written, love your enemies, pray for them even if they persecute you. That's a logos. It's there. It was spoken. However, I do need to inquire of the Lord, how? How do I show love to this person? You know, there was a person in Mark and I's life who, not that they were an enemy, but they were prickly. You know what I'm saying? And we thought we were showing love by gifts and acts of service. It's because how we experience love. But apparently that was not how they, and they had no idea that we were trying to love them. You need to inquire of the Lord, this person, how do I show love to them? They're my enemy, they're coming up against me, so Holy Spirit, would you show me specifically how to love them? Because while it is written to love your enemy, it doesn't express how to. That's the Rhema. Holy Spirit, would you show me how to show love to this person? And then pray for those who persecute you. It's not easy. I got to tell you, someone did something to us recently, and it was months before I could pray for them. I'm just letting you know. And I had to go to the Holy Spirit and go, would you give me strength to pray for them? Would you give me the strength to pray for them? The Logos, it is written. The Rhema, I inquire from the Lord for the specific. Amen. When I'm inquiring and reading, I'm listening. I'm listening to his voice. When I'm listening to his voice, I'm obeying. When I stop reading and I stop inquiring, what happens? I stop listening. And when I stop listening, I stop obeying. I then decide. There is no way that the Holy Spirit would lead me into the wilderness to be tempted. That doesn't make sense. I then start to create the narrative that I want for my life. May we as a church never stop reading. May we never stop inquiring. May we never stop obeying. That is our responsibility. It is his word, his spirit, and my responsibility. Amen. I want to end with a story, and I'm going to invite Pablo to come up. If I get teary while telling the story, it is not out of manipulation. And I want you to know, even to our prayer warriors this morning, I asked that they would pray that I could deliver this story without crying. Because it's the allergies in here. Amen. This is my prayer for us as a faith community, as we take his word, his spirit, and we acknowledge what our responsibility is in this season, is that yet none go with me, still I will follow. Yet none go with me, still I will follow. It is written, go and make disciples. And then the Rhema revelation, the now word comes of what that means for you personally. Yet none go with me, still I will follow. When the Lord called us to the East Bay, we came here not knowing a soul. Yet none go with me, still I will follow, is a beautiful song titled, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And it is based on the last words of a man in India. It's about 150 years ago when there was a great revival in Wales. His word, his spirit came together how they meant to. And a group of people caught on fire for Jesus. And as a result of that, so many missionaries would come to India to spread the gospel. And in this particular region, it's known as the Assam, and there were hundreds of tribes, but they were primitive headhunters. They were not your nice, peaceful group of people. And into this hostile and aggressive community came a group of missionaries. His word, Logos, inquired of the Lord, what am I supposed to do? And they said, you're meant to go to this part of India. And in this part of India, I want you to share the gospel. And their responsibility was to do exactly that. So they came preaching Jesus, the hope in Christ. They were not welcomed, naturally. However, there was one missionary that succeeded in leading one family to the Lord. Just one dad, his wife, and their two boys. And this Indian man and his family's faith was so contagious that many started to come to know Jesus. Obviously, the chief of the village got a little angry. This is not the way our village is meant to work. And so he called everyone together, and he called this family who first accepted Jesus out the front, and he said, you are to renounce your faith in public right now or face execution. Here's this man. He just came to know Jesus. His word, his spirit, my responsibility, coming together in the most profound way. So moved by the Holy Spirit, he said, I have decided to follow Jesus. Totally angry and enraged, the chief ordered the archers to arrow down his two boys. You're not praying hard enough for me. So as his boys lay there, twitching on the floor, he said, will you now deny your faith? You've lost both your children. If you don't deny your faith now, you're going to lose your wife too. So the man replied, though none go with me, still I will follow. At that, his wife was shot. And he said, I'll ask you one more time to deny your faith. And he said, the cross before me, the world behind me, there is power and authority when his word, his spirit, and our responsibility come together. Even though Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted, even though the Logos, the Rhema intersect, you might find yourself in a position, you might find yourself in a place where you don't want to be. That's not fun. May our words be, though none go with me, still I will follow, because I have decided to follow Jesus. The cross before me, the world behind me, that is the power of the Logos and the Rhema coming together. And then you can imagine how the story ends. He joined his wife and his two kids in death. But there was a miracle that took place. Of course there is. The chief who ordered the killings was so moved by this man's faith that he said, I want to taste of this faith too. Right in that moment, he confessed his faith and he declared, I too belong to Jesus Christ. And then the whole village accepted Jesus as their savior. I pray you'll never sing that song the same way again. Came at a high price. So this is my question to you. How is his word and his spirit intersecting in your life today? How is it intersecting in your life? Are you allowing it? Are you meditating? Are you memorizing? Are you digging deep wells of the truth of the scripture so it's there when you need it? And then are you inquiring of the Lord, going, of this Logos, what is my Rhema? Of this Logos, what are you asking me to do? Because there may come a time or you'll make a decision that I will follow, even if none go with me. And in this moment, I would love to pray for those of you. Maybe it's your first time saying, I need to surrender my life to Jesus. Or perhaps you want to say with a freshness in your heart, it's been a while since I've said, even if none go with me, yet I will follow. Even if it's been a long time that you said, you know what, I have decided to follow Jesus. And that means whatever happens, I'm okay. Because the cross is before me and the world is behind me. And as Pablo just starts to sing this, if that's you, I want you just to stand. If this is a fresh moment for you of seeing the Spirit, the Word intersect, outworked in my responsibility, that even if none go for me, yet I will follow.
Thanks again for taking the time to listen to one of our podcasts. If you were blessed, please follow and share.